Good morning, everyone. We had an amazing week. It was my first EuroCon. Really, it was my first EuroCon, but it was my first EuroCon in Baltimore, so it was a first of first for me. But what was amazing started last Sunday, and when Pastor Steve DeVries said a statement, and this statement rung home with me, he said, I hadn't been here in about a year and a half. And when I came, I realized, and the word he said was familiarity. And I listened and I said, here's a pastor, missionary, father, church planner. Yet, he discerned and he defined something in his life when he was with the body of Christ. And that just, it was like for me, it's like the door opened. And that was the beginning of the entire week. Having definition, discernment, direction, purpose, insight to our lives. And yesterday, the 1 o'clock session, Pastor Schaller spoke of a verse in Isaiah chapter 56, and I wrote this down. Listen to this. The beast of the field come to devour, the beast in the forest, the watchman, blind, ignorant, all dumb dogs, cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, greedy dogs, never have enough, shepherds, cannot understand, look to their own way, everyone for his gain. And the session yesterday afternoon about being healthy, I mean, just like, you ever have your ears just perk up? Like you're like, you almost are awake. You were in maybe a slumber. You were just doting or whatever spiritually, and something hits your ears and you snap and you're like, wow, what was that? And you begin to listen deeply. You begin to drink deeply. You move to the edge of your seat because you realize what you are hearing is health for your soul. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And the body of Christ is amazing. I mean, like Pastor Sterling Johnson said, every opportunity there was healing, the Lord was present to heal them all. He came in such a way, Pastor Bailey said it. Like every pastor that came just said it, and the healing, what happens in the body of Christ. And this past year of COVID, the one thing that has been common was distance yourself. Distance yourself. Distance yourself. Distance yourself. I understand it medically, but I don't understand it spiritually. I don't understand distancing myself spiritually because the warfare does not change because of COVID. Satan's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it's interesting, this word healed, it means this, to restore to a sound state. Webster's Dictionary, 1828. And there's two aspects of healing. There is personal healing and there is corporate healing. There is corporate healing in the body of Christ. And he delivered them. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. It's the same word. They have restored to a healthy state just a little. But we know that man is deep. Psalm 42, verse 7. And you know what calls to the depth of man's issues? The depth of God. The depth of God is able, the only thing able to deal with hurting, sick, sinful man. And this past week, wow. You know, I'll share this in closing. On Tuesday, God said, take off Thursday. Okay. somehow Wednesday I didn't take off work. So I came to service Wednesday night, and I'm sitting in service. And again, the Word of God quickening me. And Holy Spirit was like, take off tomorrow. And immediately I just sent my boss a text, I will not be in the office tomorrow. And I came to the pastor's session, and the European pastors were there, and to see their faces and to understand what we are part of. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We come, and you know what? We've all experienced this. God healing us in the corporate body, delivering us, defining areas of our life that we had no definition. We didn't even know there were issues. There were blind spots. There were areas that we could not put a finger on. But in the midst of the body of Christ, hearing the Word of God, being under sound preaching, categorical doctrine, definition happens, and healing occurs. And then the second part of 107:20 says, and delivered us from our destructions. So with everyone, Pastor, I say thank you. I mean, just thank you. Thank you to the body of Christ, everyone that labored, no matter how small or how big, thank you. Because this is what God is doing in our days. And it's marvelous. It's amazing. And not only is it for us, but it touches every facet of our life, our neighborhoods, our families, our jobs, wherever we go. Because when we are healthy, you know what? This is amazing. We can't close our mouths. We can't. Because the Word of God is bubbling inside. And it comes out. It's like, it comes out. Who said it, Pastor Drew Willichek? He's down on the pier and he doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to evangelize, but it's coming out of him. Because what has been put in him, when you're healthy, you can't close your mouth. You can't shut down. You're glowing. You're alive. And people just like, something about you, it's the Lord. It's what God has done. It's what God is doing. It's what God will do. And God will do the same for you. So this has been my experience this week. And I'm so grateful to God with everyone here. I know this is the same testimony, all of us. God showed up. Or what we heard, instead of God showed up, we showed up. God is here. We showed up. God said, welcome. I've been waiting. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, I've been waiting to be gracious unto you. So just like we had this week, today, this morning, we have a fresh opportunity to hear and to drink deeply again. Amen. Amen.
We're looking at a text of scripture this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, and this in connection with our week where we had Eurocon and Body Life here and a lot of good things. Pastor Eugene, thank you for that word. It's very good. I feel the same way as he does. And we're going to speak on this subject this morning of our body life, self-worth, our value, God's way of changing us, God's way of growth, God's way of showing us himself. And so this is, we're looking from Ephesians 4, and we're going to look at verse 11. We're going to skip just some verses here from 11 through down to maybe even the end of the chapter. And so we want to draw a diagram in a moment and make the preface for what we are saying today. Many people struggle with the whole issue of who they are and their self-worth. Self-worth is simply defined as this level of importance you place on yourself. It is an emotional outlook that determines how and what you feel about yourself in comparison to other people. Self-worth is a fundamental part of our being, and it controls the way we see ourselves. Everything we think about, all the emotions we feel, even the way we act, is a product of what value we place on ourselves by ourselves. As a Christian, I define self-esteem as having confidence that I am who God says I am. It's not dependent on my own abilities, but instead on knowing that God will equip me for the work He has set out for me to do. I like these ideas: self-worth, my value, my private life, how I think about myself and who I am. And I believe that many of us have had this defined to us by God. That happens in the body of Christ. It happens by the Bible speaking to us. It happens by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and teaching us. How do we know this? It's written here. We're going to read it in a moment. But before I do, I want you to think about what God says about you. Luke 12:6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten by God? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are more value than many sparrows. I think that the homeless people on Route 40, I think a young teenager, 14 years old, whose dad is angry with him, or he doesn't have a dad, has a lot of questions in his own heart about who is he. A woman, maybe attractive woman. Remember the woman at the well, how many husbands did she have? 5. Was she attractive? Hey, 5 guys? It's not small potatoes. Like, why did she have 5? She must have been somehow attractive. But then, why did she lose 5? There must have been something rotten in the picture. There must be something about her, it may be. But this is a good example of how when Christ comes to a person and He goes beyond the human and the natural and gives her value and loves her and changes her life, then this is what we're looking at in ministry. Ministry has many elements to it that the world does not have. When I say the world, I mean the natural man and the programs of life, the philosophy of the world, the methods of the world, the ways of the world. And yesterday, in broad strokes, I took a big hit at the field of psychology. I took a big blow. I gave it a good punch on the field of psychology. And talking about its failures, that being understood, I understand that people get help sometimes, and I know this. But I want to say that if we start with ourselves, there's 2 errors that people... First of all, let's do our diagram. Here's a man, and he can be, we have a picture up there, yeah. This is my favorite cliff drawing. Okay. He is by himself, and And he needs love. He needs value. He needs a relationship. It's not good for him to be alone. So he has a mother, he has a father, he has a friend, he has a school, he has friends, he does things. But he struggles in himself. God made him for himself, for God. We'll put it at the end of the road or the other side here is God. It's really what he's looking for is God. But he doesn't know God. So let's look at Ephesians 4, and we will look at verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Why, people? Why did he give gifts that are primarily here communicators? Why did he give the gifts of communication? Because that's life, is instruction. Life is about instruction. Life is understanding. If we don't understand, we're very limited. But he gave those gifts from the Spirit because he ascended, he descended and ascended, and he gave gifts unto men. That's in the previous verses there. Why did he give the instructors, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, that there would be a process, a growth that would happen in life. And that process would be more than do's and don'ts. This is maybe something you can all identify with, the do's and don'ts of the evangelical church. Many evangelical pulpits compound the problem by doing nothing than listing the do's and don'ts of Christian responsibility. So I want to put on this side of the cliff this philosophy of life, which is doing and not doing, or do's and don'ts. That's how some people understand the Christian life. Don't do this and do this. Did you pray? Yeah, I prayed. Oh, good boy. Good, good. Pray. That's good. Did you read your Bible? You should read your Bible. And both of those, I agree. But how do I hear it? How do I hear the do's and don'ts of the Christian life? Many times I hear those things and I make some determination in my heart that this is what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. But we have also found people that have found it to be, they fail at it. Then they get guilty about it and they say, I'm not a good Christian. I don't pray enough. I don't study my Bible enough. I don't have enough. I'm not obedient enough. Therefore, I don't know. I have inside this sense of guilt and failure. I wonder how many people are out there, they're not in a church today because they don't feel they're a very good Christian. And added to that is the rebellion. And added to that is guilt. And added to that is the understanding that, oh, no, I can't. I already tried. 2 years I was in the church. I was in the church 2 years, 4 years, 10 years. But it wasn't enough, or it didn't work, or it didn't help me. I'm saying they fell off the cliff. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. So go to the next verse. It says, these instructors are for the maturing of the saints and the work of the ministry. I love that phrase, work of the ministry. Work of the ministry. This is something that happens by the Holy Spirit, that we are gifted. that we have gifts, that we use our gifts. I saw that this past week. I saw body members ministering to body members, not by do's and don'ts. I saw them connecting, because work of the ministry is about connection. It's about love. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the mind of God. It's about grace. It's about truth. I saw many people on the deck down at the breakfast. I saw the ladies serving us, and somebody jokingly said the average age of the women that were serving the lasagna was like 68 years old on Friday. Nobody's counting. But they were joking about how the precious people. I'm at the same age, so But why? Why? Because the ministry is more than do's and don'ts. It's picking people up. It's picking them up when they fall. It's about holding them and loving them so they forgive themselves. They forgive themselves. Do you know what happens to Christians? They fall down. Nobody picks them up. After they pick them up, they are not restoring them. Because restoration is a work of God. This pathway is a narrow way to life, and few there be that find it. Let's go to the text now. It says, it's for the edifying of the body, verse 12. The edifying of the body happens by the ministry of divine instruction by many parts, verse 14. And 13 is excellent, but because, as I said, we're skipping, so bear with me, that we be no more children tossed to and fro. Yeah, and we know how children, have you ever seen those little ropes with the little circles and the kids are walking down the sidewalk holding on to one of those, what are those called? You know, one of those handles, Pastor Barry? You don't know. The kids, there's a line of like kindergartners walking down the sidewalk. Why? Because children are prone to wander. Look at the bee, the airplane. Walk across the parking lot looking at the airplane. You know, the diagram shows that the man is maturing, and the maturing is more than one man teaching. One man teaching is instructing all of us so that we are able with each other to edify one another. We are able to stay on track. You know, we're able to see like where we are going. Read it with me. It says, we are not children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And there's a lot of that in many social media venues and YouTube videos and people you meet and wandering here and there and also being misled by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. These are people that are fishing for people. Wow, what a good thought that is, verse 14. They are fishing for people. Have you ever met a salesman who is able to, he is getting the audience and he's able to sell them something? Have you seen a popular, maybe a celebrity, has an audience already, and he's able to lead his group to have a certain haircut, to wear a certain style of dress, to speak a certain way. He is able to lead them on a platform and lead and guide them in a certain way. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. That's the beautiful thing that's happened to me, that I fell, I was picked up, but more than picked up, I was restored. I was encouraged. I was edified. You know, now look at, on the other side of the cliff is people, and I want to put here a lot of talk. Yeah, what I could put here, the word social activity. A lot of talk, a lot of compassion, sympathy, understanding, hand-holding, pampering, pandering, a lot of like people support, but where is God? Maybe a lot of popularity, but where is the truth that sets me free inside, edifies me inside in the spirit? That's what we're all looking for. That's called body life. Body life is not do's and don'ts, and body life is not just social interaction. Body life is God's reality in the midst of us, and it's able to restore. Then after being restored, we are increasing, and we have some sense of direction. So look at it with me, chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Do you feel that? Let's say John and Jenny Perry are here, right? Yeah, they're there, okay. Like these are the old timers, okay. Mary LaFlame over there, like we're old, okay. Can we say that this has happened to us? Can we say that we've increased in him, and that our relationships are not, that they're not so, they're not sentimental or familiar, and then they're not, that my life isn't mechanical and legalistic, which produces either negative guilt or pride, but we simply are who we are in a kind of mature way, where a human being is actually neither of those, but increasing with the increase of God in my person, in my heart. And I'm good. Like, I'm just plain, just simple good. I'm not thinking so much of myself. I found myself in him. And that's all that I want to know. Basically, I mean, this is our joy. Go to the verse 15, please. May grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now look at 16. From whom the whole body, meaning when you and I are in Christ, in truth, in the whole body, in him, then the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. There's a increase. There's a, you know, when somebody's body is healthy and the body the parts are supplying, and when one part is strong and the other one is weak, the strong part helps the weak part. When one part is strong and then it comes to the aid of the other part of the body, and there is a community increase, a edification that happens. So verse 16, it says, By that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There's that word, effectual working, that we used the other night. For this real influence, like a medication has an influence, a drug has an influence. It really works, like zoologists, or these people working with animals, and they have the dart gun, and they hit a wild animal, and the drug has an effect in the animal. The cat falls out of the tree into a net. The drug is effectual. That's the same with God in us. Like, he put us in the body, and the body has an effect on me. It's effectual. It has an influence. I don't know what happened. I was at the church. I just feel encouraged. I'm loved. That's all. Nothing huge. Just it affects me. I like to be there. I like to be with my friends. We have my friends are this way. Like, they know the Lord. They do, and they can talk to me, and comfort and edification and encouragement happens. And we just start talking about used cars or something, or a house or something. But behind it is this depth. This person has been walking with God in faith and obedience. And the result is the body of Christ. It's a therapy for people. It is. The body of Christ is an ordained means by God in his grace to have a ministry to you to affect your life. And you don't, I said to somebody the other day, the reason I don't drink is because I'm with you. I'm not drinking because I'm with you. I'm having a good time with you. I have no need. I am satisfied. I'm not empty. I'm not lonely. And I mean, if I didn't have you, I still wouldn't drink because of my conviction. But I'm trying to say the satisfaction that I have in God's ordained plan for a kind of, we could call it, a divine therapy for people who they are all wrapped up in self-esteem. How do I get it? Am I valuable? Do you love me? I mean, a woman could say, you know, I need love. Where do I go to get the love? I've tried it with guys, and I don't really like them, what's happened to me. But I found in the body there is purity, there is godliness, there is truth, there is satisfaction, there is edification, there is God in the body. Isn't that amazing? And so he said to them, don't be like Gentiles who, verse 17, and we'll finish. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And what he means is really pagans. And why does he say Gentiles? He could say Jews. But he uses the word for the people that are in that society in Ephesus. They are the pagan God worshipers who have empty minds. In verse 17, they walk in the vanity of their mind, or the emptiness of their mind, the vacuity of mind. To be honest, I do have a hard time watching television, because I just feel my mind is not, you know, I'm just not made for that. I don't know. I can watch a documentary or watch a movie on an airplane. I do that. You know, some of them are very good and interesting and so on and all that. And animal, like little animal documentaries and all that. I'm just talk. Okay, so what am I saying? I don't like to put my mind in at a place where I'm bored, not interested, dull, or stimulated by something foolish, by lust, murder, mystery, stories that are not edifying, murder. I mean, people flock to these kind of things, demonic movies and all of this. Don't live with, as people do, that are somehow lost in their minds. Look up at our diagram. If my Christian life is what I do and do not do, it's boring. Is there any mystery in life? Is there worship? If I'm with people and we just are talking, and there's nothing there really. I'm looking for an interesting rap session, interesting conversation. Not just tell me something I already know. I'm looking for what the Lord has to say to me in a fresh way. And I have found those people. And that book, I love reading books that are from that men of God, that from the Holy Spirit, just like sitting with Martin Luther or some other man of God, sitting with them with a book, and he's writing and he's talking to me, and the Spirit is speaking to me, and he edifies me because he has found Christ. He found Christ, so why wouldn't I listen to him? He found Christ in the 14th century and the 15th century and the 17th century. These are men of God and women of God that found Christ. That's the kindness. So my mind is occupied with my heart. My heart is stirred, and I'm being edified in the body of Christ. Then when I meet you, we're on the deck talking, and then they go, I read, or I have a story, or this is very interesting. That reminds me of, and when this is happening, this is body life. It's community. It's our family. And our kids grow up in it. I don't know why mom and dad are always sitting around. Our family has these funny little stories our kids tell us. You know, my son Kyle, when he was very little, he saw it. My wife took me to the airport, and they went up in the airplane, and my wife said, well, he's gone to Hungary. So he's a little guy. He's gone to Hungary, so I talked to him one day on the couch, and he's looking up, and he goes, you know, he thought the airplane was Hungary, and that when I went away, I was up in the airplane for 30 days in Hungary. I was in Hungary. I went to Hungary, you know, for 30 days. I was in the airplane for 30 days. You know. Okay, so why did I say that? Our children are learning about mom and dad, but they're finding more than mom and dad. They're finding Jesus is in the church. Yes, we have sad stories when our kids may go away from the faith, but they can come back. Yes, we have things, there's misunderstandings about us. Look at the screen. Some people understand us like this. We are being told what to do, what not to do, and they drive by and they look at the property, they go, poor, poor people. Those poor, poor people. They think we're talking about what we should do and not do. And then others look at us in the church and they go, oh, they're just hanging out. They just do what they call rap session. They just hang out just for hours and hours. That's all that they do. They're just hanging out. They don't have anything else to do. That's all that they do. They just hang out. It's just another thing, of a social thing. No, that's not what we know. So Paul said, don't let your minds be empty like the Gentiles. And then verse 17, having the understanding darkened, verse 18, being alienated from the life of God. Don't be this way. Yes, you can be this way. You can be alienated from the life of God. Yes, you can be this way. then you'll go out, we'll go out in the world and try to find our way and get our group and we'll be our way. But is it from God? Is it from God? I mean, as a way of life. We all have our groups and our different activities and hobbies maybe, or things that we do and people that we're with. Yes, I'm not saying that's part of life. That's fine. But I need a real foundation. And that's what we have discovered here in our spiritual home. And this is our life. And that's why the American pastors came. I was so edified to see them come and just say these things. Bailey Norman said it. He goes, I was in the pastor's breakfast, and he said, he was touched. He said, I grew up here. I was eating my lunch in this room when I was like this tall. I grew up here. I went through GGC. I went through the Bible college. My parents are in this church. I grew up here. My uncle is the pastor here. I grew up here at this whole plaza. But then he's like touched by it. What is it? He goes from, in principle, there are people, I grew up here. I don't want anything to, I am gone. I'm so glad to be out of here. I've been here all my life. I am gone. And then there's people, I found another, and you know, I didn't get anything out of it, maybe they might even say. But we say, no, we want to instruct you. We want to help you. You need to hear what the Lord has to say for you, to you, and what he has for you. And it's not flesh and blood. It's what God has ordained for us. And get through the familiarity and get through past legalism and have the mystery of a loving, restorative, edifying relationship with the living God, because he is for you. And you will find people loving you, encouraging you, wise, and not some mechanical program, but very human and very divine that touches your spirit and your heart. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for the ministers, Pastor Pete Wastera, who understands this, and the ministers, the ladies in the fellowship hall, and the security, and that manages the property, and Scotty Dubay, and and so many moms raising their kids, and dads, and pastors, and so many people that are ordained of you to bring not just restoration, but setting people on a new path, a new and living way, a new way of life. Love, forgiveness, wisdom, anointing, food, spiritual food, to lead us in valuable, useful living to help others. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus, bless our day today, the whole day, and give us wisdom for this day in your name. Anyone listening to my voice, come to Jesus Christ personally, and by faith, receive and believe in him, and you are born of God, the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of regeneration, the miracle of the new life. Walk by faith in him, and you will know him. Keep at it. Walk by faith. Trust him. Hear what the Bible is saying, and embrace it. In Jesus' name, amen.